Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up and to test Jesus said to him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? And how do you read it?" And he said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that way. He saw him, and he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to that place, and when he saw him, he also passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine into his wounds, and bandaged him. Then he lifted him on his own animal and took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, giving them to the innkeeper, telling him, 'Take care of him. And if you spend more than what I have given to you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" And he answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
I would first like to turn my attention to my sister Mary, who is watching from Montana, twin sister to Frank, and since her stroke and heart attack a year and a half ago has been bedridden. And Mary, we're with you as we remember your womb mate, Frank. And we know others couldn't be here today and sent their regards, and so we greet you who are here in spirit or by live stream. We want to honor Don and Luke and Stacy, Frank's wife and son and daughter, who Frank was privileged to see both of their weddings before his death, and he was able to celebrate his 40th anniversary with Don before his death. And as the family remembers this anniversary, we also look forward to the new life that's in Stacy at the moment and await the birth. How many people here knew Frank Panett? A few of you. How many people did he accompany you when a family member died? A number of hands. And how many people attended a Bible story class or an adult ed class with Frank? Frank's passion was living out this gospel. And the gospel invites us to the question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, after he tells the story, says, the one who treated him with mercy is what we are about. And that was Frank's life, but that's our life. How do we treat people with mercy and compassion and welcoming and blessing? The other day, I was returning home from a flight to Chicago, and we got to the airport, and the flight was delayed. We were in a very small corridor, and the person up on the microphone was saying, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. There's a mechanical problem. And then this person comes out who looked like an official. He had a big American flag tie and things on his side, and he identified himself as the captain. And he started talking to the little microphone, and we couldn't all hear him. So he stepped forward and in bold voice says, "I'm using my military voice today. We are delayed, and I want you to be safe. So I'm going to come out every once in a while and tell you where we're at, so you won't be waiting." And this kind of boisterous voice, he could have just gone to the back room and probably had a cup of coffee or something. But then he spent the next moment of time visiting with people that were in the crowd. And he particularly focused on a particular person that was in a wheelchair who had lots of questions and probably some people might have said was obnoxious. And he could have probably justified, you know, avoiding her. But what he did, once they said, "Well, we're going to move to another gate," he took that woman's wheelchair and walked her all the way to the next gate. And he made sure that she got on that gate. A man, I have no idea his name or his religious tradition or his belief system, but he was living out this gospel, the one who treats the person with mercy. On one occasion, Frank asked me to go with him to a home because the other part of Frank's passion in life was the Dodgers. Not only because he had a job there, but he clearly saw that as a ministry of presence and joy and celebration. And so I went to this home, and this person had worked for Frank in the food stand for decades, and the person had cancer. And he invited me in to anoint this person. But it was clear to me, as a person of faith, as a priest, as a family member, that what Frank was doing here was what he does here and wherever he was. He saw a need, and he provided a healing moment. And the family clearly saw him not as a boss, but as a person of mercy and compassion. It is difficult these days to live this gospel out. Someone sent me a text the other day. It's easy to love Jesus. It's really hard to love Judas. And that's often our challenge. We have a shooting of 16 people, and 12 people are shot. And we remember the 16 people who died, but the young person often who did the shooting got shot. There was actually another person that died that day whose family is grieving too. And this gospel is about that. How do we show mercy, especially when it's not easy? The Good Samaritan story is about all those people in our lives whom we might not want to like, or we even feel justified not liking, or even hating, or despising. They come from another country. They speak another language. They have a different sexual orientation. They have no belief. They're my cousin or someone that gave up their faith, and we think that they're going to hell. All those things that divide us, this gospel is about. How am I being called to show mercy to that other person? The other day at our church at St. Camilla's, we've had a flag outside that said all immigrants are welcome for years. We've had a flag out that says peace and has the gay colored flags, and we're dedicating a little fountain this week on behalf of the Archdiocese for the abuse of people by priests. And so often those images attract some response. A couple of weeks ago, a group of Catholics, rosary praying Catholics, came to protest our peace flag with that said pride on it, like colors. These are moments that you and I find us in daily, in our own family, in our own neighborhood, in our own heart, in our own church, let alone in our world. I am blessed that I had a brother who witnessed to me the mercy of God. He was a seminarian before me. He allowed me to see the possibility of a servant priesthood as he left the seminary and went to work as a teacher and then fell in love with Don, who swept him off his feet. And for 40 plus years and two children later, Frank was about being a priestly person because of his baptism. And as a priest, I learned to be priestly from him. We all learn that from him, because by our baptism, we are priest, prophet, and king. And so in the gospel, we can pick out and say, yeah, this lawyer guy was really bad, and the priest guy was really bad too. You know, the gospel kind of can say it's them. They're the bad folks out there. But were those people who walked on the other side of the road? Were the people that avoided this Samaritan, the outsider? And Jesus gives us this invitation, this challenge today. More than ever, how am I looking at who is my neighbor, and how am I treating one another with mercy? And so what we see in the gospel invites us to do five things. As a chaplain at the hospital, these are basic rules too. The first rule of the scripture is that Jesus tells us that the Samaritans saw the person and had compassion for the person. So we have to see the other person that we disagree with. We have to look at their face, that homeless person on the street corner. I might not give you something, but what's your name? Oh, Joe. Well, we'll keep you in thoughts and prayer. Well, maybe I have a Snicker bar to give you. To see and to notice and even name the other person. The second thing that Jesus does in this parable, it says, you approach the person. So you're giving yourself to them, at least for a few moments. What's on your heart today? What is going on in your life today? At a hospital, the person with the broken foot, very often it's not the broken foot. It's they're caring about their spouse at home, or who's taking care of their cat. Or, you know, it was so stupid when I fell. It's all my fault. We approach the person. The third thing we do is we find out their need. And so in the scripture, the person saw that they were beat up, they were hurt, and so what did they do? They met the need. They took out oil. They treated the wounds. And then we can do that with our taxes and other. We could just give money to this, but this person goes beyond that. He puts the person on a donkey, takes them to an inn, takes care of that immediate need. But what does this person do? What does Jesus give us as a model? The person pays for them to be cared for while they're gone to come back. Jesus invites us into this model of living, to see people with compassion, to approach them, know them by name, learn their story. What is their need? What is the immediate need? What is the long-term need? How can I be part of the plan? Holy Family has been doing this for decades, even before Monsignor, even before Frank and Don, even before you or I. This community has been that beacon of a place that people are welcomed and noticed and named and loved. And so I celebrate not only Frank, my brother, as we trust in his resurrection, but we also celebrate you as a community of faith. And each of us who daily struggle with this message of Jesus, this message not only to know the neighbor, but to know the person with mercy. One of the other things I learned from Frank during his years, especially at the last couple years, when we would hang out and watch Dodger game and even have a glass or something of wine, but I learned a friend of his by the name of Alexa. Alexa became a real blessing to Frank. We would be at Keck Hospital or Huntington, and Don would kindly put this little thing in the room to make the Frank was never alone, and he would say, Alexa, and something would happen. A really amazing technology for today, for people who are alone at home and in hospital. Alexa this, Alexa that. But one of the most common things that he would say is, Alexa, play Hold On to Love. It was his song that rooted him once again in the gospel. And so as we hear this song later in the Mass, hear Frank saying to each of us, hold on to love. Hold on to love, where hope is found, where joy abound, where grace and mercy flows. Hold on to love. As Frank is among us forever, may we hold on to love. May we answer the question, who is your neighbor, my neighbor? And may we respond with mercy, like Frank did so faithfully. Amen?
Amen.
And so at this time, we want to pause, hear that gospel, and now we want to celebrate with Monsignor the commitment of 50 years of life and marriage.
Tim and Harriet Kuhlman. Come on up here, Tim and Harriet. They look different than when they left here. They were married in San Marino. Well, that's why they need the blessing here. So I'm glad it lasted 50 years because, you know, who knows? But anyway, we're here to celebrate and to bless Harriet and Tim Kuhlman. So please stand. Harriet and Tim belonged here for many, many years. And we sent them off to Orange County some years ago as missionaries, and they never came back. So we're just thrilled and delighted to welcome them back here into the faith community to which they belong for many, many years. So we thank you for the gift of your years, Tim and Harriet, for the example of your lives, and for the privilege you extend to us to allow us to give you a blessing on the occasion of your 50th wedding anniversary. So I'm going to have you stand here, and the people will extend your hands in blessing. Tim and Harriet, I want you to feel the belonging of this community, the faith, the prayer, the love, the celebration of the people of Holy Family. I want you to know that when you come back here, for you and for us, it is homecoming. You come back to a place that you have blessed through the years in your matrimony, and a place that has blessed you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you with great, great kindness. And I pray that the grace given to you today in your matrimony and in your faith community will be to know again and in a deeper way how much you are loved by many people, how much you are loved in your family and in your relationship, and how much you are loved by your God. So we bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's offer them a big applause.
Thank you so much.
Very special.
Very special. Wonderful.